Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to another fabulous episode of Rahalastapa. It's Kerry Howard in Bath. Hey, look, we did this one on tour and we're touring loads at the moment. And I'm sure right into the future, whenever you listen to this, I will be on tour unless I'm dead. Sorry if I'm dead. I've come back as a ghost. That'll be more fun when I'm dead. Anyway, go to richherring.com/gigs. You can find out if I'm coming near to you. And right at the moment, we're doing a Kickstarter to raise money for the 25 shows we've filmed already in 2019. Hopefully, we can cover a few more of the ones coming up to the summer as well with this. If you've listened to this podcast and never donated, or if you watch the videos and would like them to continue, or if you just like loads of cool rewards, I mean, they're works of art. One day, probably both Me One versus Me Two Snooker and Stone Clearing will win Turner prizes, which means that you'll be able to get works of art. These will rocket in value, if that's the case, to hundreds of thousands of pounds. And also, as well as getting the work of art, you get a T-shirt and some videos of me stone clearing and playing snooker against myself and loads of other stuff. Other artists don't do that, do they? If Vincent van Gogh had given away a T-shirt with every painting, maybe he would have sold more in his lifetime. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, if you want to own some art or just help us make more scatological podcasts, go to rahalastapa.co.uk/Kickstarter and you can join the fun there. Rahalastapa.co.uk is a great place to find out more about the podcast too. All right, bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. That is what I wanted to say. Welcome for another week to the Bath Comedian. We liked it so much we came back for another week. Please welcome a man who has just signed a $1 billion deal to make his badger-based Aardman show. It's going really well. Just backstage. It's Richard Herring. God, just so much better than last week's audience. So is they were cunts. They're all cunts. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Oh, lovely to be back in Bath. I always love coming here. And it's welcome to Richard Herring's Licking Sherpa Tenzing podcast. We later on, that's going to be happening later on. So I think he's just a skeleton now, but still, that would make him easier to lick in a way. Although I was at the Herschel Museum of Astronomy in Bath just before the show. You know, Uranus was discovered in Bath. Did you know that? Uranus was. Did you know that? Uranus was discovered in Bath. Do you know about that? Looks like it's about to get discovered after the show as well, for the like next year. I was hanging out with some of the guys from the William Herschel Society. They call it Rahelastapa, and they also call it Uranus, but they're not fooling anyone. Caroline did all the work. That's a little science-based book joke for you there. Caroline Herschel. Of course, William Herschel, who didn't discover it, was Caroline Herschel. She's the best one. No? Controversial? Yeah, I know. Jane Austen didn't write the books. It was Ian Austen, her husband, who wrote all the books. William Herschel called Uranus Georgium Sidious. I don't need to tell you that, right? Meaning George's star or planet after King George. Didn't need to tell Bath, they knew that. That's what they're best known for here. Someone else who called it Uranus, which is embarrassing either way. Either he realised it was called Uranus and that would be funny. That's quite embarrassing. Or he didn't realise it was the Uranus sounded funny, which is worse, isn't it? So it's one of the two. Whoever called Uranus, Uranus. Sounds like Uranus. Just helping you out with that. Right, we've got a fantastic guest for you this week. She's probably best known as the party girl in Peacock Season, the Richard Herring vehicle that you may be aware of. I also starred in that film. That could be my best known as well, of course. But sadly, it is my best known as. Will you please welcome Kerry Howard, ladies and gentlemen? Bath's own. Sit down. Pick up a microphone. You have to talk into a microphone.
I forgot about that film. I never got paid for that.
Did you not? I don't think I did either. In fact, I think Bastards. I did it and someone said, oh, wait, so something, they were getting paid. And I said, oh, I'm not getting paid.
No.
It was a film about the Edinburgh Fringe. I think those guys have gone on to start making like what I would call some proper films.
Yeah, it's available. Do real films.
It's available on Go Faster Stripe if you want to see it.
Yeah.
What was your role as party girl?
I literally can't remember. I think I had to let a comedian look at my tits.
Okay.
And go, you.
It was pre Me Too.
It was definitely Me Too. But like they're making real films and they haven't asked us.
I know. It's terrible.
A bit rude.
It's awful.
Sort yourself out.
Anyway, backstage you were telling me you're best known as a ventriloquist that couldn't ventriloquize.
My way into this industry is so, like, mental, but this is genuinely how I managed to get my agent. I bought the Stage magazine when I first moved to London, and it was filled with ads on, like, to be a table dancer. And every week I'd be like, maybe I could do that, but I didn't. But then one week there was this ad that said, learn to be a ventriloquist in 2 weeks, BBC Three sitcom, open casting. And you never have open castings for like BBC, like they just, people don't do open castings. And this was, Susan, when was it? Like 15 years ago? Susan. 2007. That's why Susan's here. She's my timeline.
That was the year I got a champagne bottle.
Same year. Simpatico with the... No. I was the bar lady. No, I wasn't. Imagine. Here you go for your anus. Enjoy.
It's all your anus.
I went along to this open audition because I thought, fuck it, I could do that. I've never done ventriloquism. Like, I can't even say the word, so it's going to be good for me, right? And Ken Campbell was there.
Amazing.
And he was doing a workshop teaching all these girls to learn how to do it. And luckily, I've got an overbite, which means buck teeth. So you can kind of like hide your tongue and like try and do it because you're like, hello, I can kind of do it. Hi, I'm talking. Am I doing it?
It was good.
I should do a Netflix show.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got the job, and like a week later, I was in Glasgow doing a hidden camera show. It's like a sting show, and it doesn't really work because you're ventriloquizing in front of people, and it's like angry Scottish people, like, "Why aren't you moving your mouth, you witch?" And I'm like, "Oh, there's cameras," and then the director's like, "Don't say there's cameras, you stupid bitch!" And I'm like, "I don't know what I'm doing." You know, and a month later it was on BBC Three at 1 o'clock and no one watched it. So, cracking beginning.
Well, fine. It must be on YouTube.
No, it's not. Is it not? Susan, where is it? It's dead.
Can we find a copy, Susan?
It's awful.
There might be someone called Susan out there or not. We don't know. But it might just be Susan.
I remember now, I think the reason why I got the job is because my sort of like banter to break the audition would... I don't know why I thought this was a really good way to kind of break the ice with casting directors. I would always be like, "Hey, I can do a dolphin / monkey impression." And do it.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Yeah, I'll do it. But this got me the job, okay. And it was in the show. I say, I haven't done this in years. Okay, let's have some bubbles. It's going to be really shit now. You're welcome.
It was different
Aardman,
times.
Where's Aardman? Where is he? Peter!
It was different times back then. The casting couch was very much based on what animals you could do. It was a simpler time. It went a bit seedy and then everyone, "Hey, come on, let's go back to making them do animal sounds." That was good. Yeah, Ken Campbell's an amazing man. I was a massive fan of Ken Campbell's.
Well, I didn't know he was Ken Campbell. Yeah. I just thought he was just some random old dude that was a little bit smiley. And he sort of like invited me back to his house to do some training. And
I bet he did.
Yeah, mate. But I could have like, he could have given me the keys to comedy and I could have been in there straight away and felt up. But, you know, I chose a scenic route. So...
Maybe.
I didn't get felt
up. I think he was, you know, of all the people who got off with young women, he was one of the nicer ones.
His eyebrows were insane.
They
though.
Were.
They were like, "Hink." It's true. True story.
He was a genius, an absolute genius.
Yeah. I wish I did go back to... Yeah. No, like... He probably wouldn't even... I wouldn't have been one of the girls that he picked. Just, I had the talent.
No.
But not attractive enough. So it's a bit of a sting. No.
So we should talk about your brother, Daniel.
Daniel, my twin brother.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know you were a twin till today. So I'm very excited about your twin brother. I don't care about the other brother. He's a douche. But what's it like being a twin? Is that all right?
It's all right, to be honest. There's only 2 years difference between me and...
And your twin.
And my sister. No, actually, 2 weeks difference between me and my twin. So my mum, I've dined out on this story so many times. My mum ovulated twice in 1 month. So I was conceived, and then 2 weeks later, Daniel was conceived. But if she was a bit of a slut, we could have had different dads, but we didn't. Same dad, boring. But we were born at the same time, but Daniel was really prem and could have died. But he didn't.
So you pushed him out, basically. You were 2 weeks superior.
I was really fat and ready, and he was like, just a skull.
That can't be real. That's a West
Country
thing.
Looking back in the pictures, it was like, you know, burn it. It's a creature. That ain't a baby. I was beautiful, but, you know, put it.
And is Daniel, working? Everyone else in your family seems to work in show business. Does Daniel work in show business?
No, I think he's an IT consultant.
You think he's an IT consultant?
I don't pay attention.
He's one of my audience. That's, how wonderful.
He does, he's on the phone. Yeah. And as soon as he starts talking about his job, I'm like... But then as soon as I start talking about my work, he's like... So we just don't pay attention to each other. It's a beautiful relationship.
Twins are allowed to go that way. Do you have, are you psychic with each other because you shared the womb together?
Well, I believed I was.
Okay.
But I think that's because I'm
But he
actress.
Kept saying, I'm not thinking
Yeah, Daniel would always discount it, be like, nope, that never happened. I'd be like, no, I sensed it. And no, we're not, if truth be told.
How many times do you get asked if you're an identical twin with your twin brother?
Probably lots when I was 9 years old, but never now.
Oh, good. So, You have worked with your other brother, though.
Russell
Howard. Do you know if you know Russell Howard? No. He's not really doing much. He's not up to much.
No.
He's quite a nice boy.
He's all right.
One of the times I was at the Comedian recently, he was in town and he called me up and I went and had some barbecue ribs with him and your mum and dad. So I've met your whole family apart from Daniel, so I'm looking forward to seeing in the front row, to be fair, one day if he works in IT.
My dad works in IT as well.
Does he?
Yeah. So they work together.
So Russell, you did a film together on called A Gert Lush Christmas,
yeah,
which we don't need to explain here in Bath. Oh, maybe a little bit.
Maybe we don't
talk like that here. It's a bit Bristol for us. A very good Christmas.
Yeah, it's a really charming Christmas.
Big
good Christmas.
Gert Lush.
Um,
so that's, what was it like having to act alongside your brother? And you're playing his sister.
So I was
playing yourself?
No, I wasn't. It was based on one of my second cousins, Carly, really. But this description of Julie, bear in mind she's a Bristolian hairdresser, so she's got a lot of jive in her. But Russell wrote this part for me. The description of her, knowing that it would be me, was a slightly dumpy, plain girl. I'm like, well, that's not the character, and bullshit, that's not me, bitch. Yeah, I'm not bitter. But
you're very
what
good
the
actor,
fuck
though,
was so that could, about? Yeah, I was very
you could,
good
you
at
could
it.
Pull that off. You could somehow pull it off. I saw a bit where you were rubbing noses with them and stuff. It was a weird.
Yeah,
brother.
That was a bit weird. Yeah. That was weird.
And that's
your
real
brother. We're not tactile at all. Russell doesn't like to be touched, and like it's just like it's a weird thing. So to have to do that in front of like 20 crew and like cast, you're like, oh, we don't do this. It was weird. No. It was weird.
I think I nearly wrote on that. I met with Russell in Starbucks in Shepherd's Bush Green.
Yeah.
To talk about possibly working on something
together. Really?
Then never heard from him again.
Never happened.
My writing career is not going very well, I have to say at the moment. I've had bad news this week as well, so I'll try and pull my... Actually, you auditioned for me as well, and you didn't get it as either.
Oh, fuck, yes. Oh, yeah. I was really good.
You were really good.
I think I was too good. That was the trouble.
You were definitely in the top two, but...
don't say that. That's horrible. I almost got the job. I just wasn't that good enough.
But, you know, nothing came of it, so we did...
Yeah,
we filmed
sorry.
10 minutes, so, you know.
But good director as well.
Yeah,
Al Campbell, who directed Gert Lush.
He did. There you go.
Nice guy.
He's very good. Very good. Well, you know, something might happen with it eventually,
yeah,
that one.
Don't lose hope. You know, this is all right.
I'm 52. Yeah, this is just me dicking around. Everything I work hard at. I come to Bath with my hard worked, oh frig, I'm 50. I might feel the bottom up down here. That's quite good. Then, oh, just come and mess around, Rich. Look at all these cunts up there. Where were you lot last year when it snowed? Oh, I couldn't get in.
I feel like I'm in a weird therapy session.
It's lovely here in Bath. It's amazing. It's, you know, more like... I don't know why I ever bothered writing stand-up shows.
You should just do this.
Just get local celebrities and be slightly rude to them. People just be markedly rude, but slightly charming. It's fine. The reason you got into acting was because you did better at your A-levels than you expected. Is that true?
Russell fucking don't do that. I always wanted to be an actress, no one expected me to do very well. So I was going to do a Filton Art Foundation at Filton College. And I was really excited about it because actually I'm a really good painter. Well, I haven't painted in ages. You lose your talent. It's a muscle. I need to get back to it. Then I got really good results, which was a shocker. And then Russell was just like, she can get through to clearing. Get her out, get her out. And then before I knew it, I was in the pub, like, cheering all my mates, going, yay! Don't have to do anything, because basically a foundation year in art is just a dickabout, really. Just get a year to fuck around. It's lush. But then I came home, they're like, you're going to do drama in Edgware Hill. I can't even remember the college.
That's good.
It was that shit. And before I knew it, I was in like Liverpool, Ormskirk, this obscure village outside Liverpool, doing a 3-year drama degree, which wasn't a drama degree. It was like for teachers, really. And I was the most talented thing there. Oh, there were some people there that were just couldn't even, like, smile. They had nothing. No. Ugh.
No other...
And then I came down to London thinking I was fabulous, and then everyone's fucking fabulous in London. I was just mediocre. That's the truth.
I don't think that's true
at
all.
Yes, it's the truth.
Are there any other famous alumni actors from your college?
No. I'm the only one. And every year they're like, can we have an interview? And I'm like, yes, you can.
I've seen the interview. That's in fact where I got gleaned that piece of information. It's in that interview with Edgehill College.
Yes.
So I've got
a massive face in it. My face is shrunk.
So what you're saying is don't go... If you want to be an actor, don't go to that kind of...
You want to be a teacher, go there. It's a really good place to go. But if you want to be an actress, what the fuck are you thinking? Really great charity shops, though. 8 charity shops in Ormskirk, mate. 8. It's
probably a bit too far for you guys to go to take all your once worn clothes.
No, actually, Bath is really
your
good.
Your bonnets.
No, Bath is really good for like charity shops because rich ladies. So you can pick up some designers for nothing. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Well, you live in Bath now. So
yes,
you're living,
I
you're back.
Do.
We were born in Bristol, live in Bath. Is
no,
that right?
No, I was born in Yeovil.
Oh, were you even better? Yeovil.
Yeah, I'm proper West Country.
Yeah.
I've been there, but I was born there.
You were born there and immediately evacuated.
Like, get out, it's Yeovil. Then, like, we lived in Temple Coombe, Weymouth, and then we went to Bedford, and then Hampshire, and then South Gloucestershire, and then that was it, really. And then back to Bath.
Were you from a criminal family?
I think, well, you've met my dad. I think he's like James Bond.
Okay.
Because he never talks about his career, he's always in a suit, he doesn't talk, so he's killed. classic. He's quite buff.
Yeah.
For a guy of his age, like, why do you need to be buff over 60? You're an assassin, clearly. So probably that's where we get the money. Okay. It's blood money. No, it's not. This is a lie.
Might be true.
Might be true.
If it's true, he's just been rubbed out. The minute this is...
shit.
You get home, he won't be there.
The Russians will come. Fuck. Okay.
There's a very
just
good cathedral in Bath, so the Russians might come. They love cathedrals, those guys, don't they? If you don't want to be assassinated by the Russians, don't live in a place with a lovely cathedral. That's asking for it. There's a lovely cathedral here, and baths and everything. What do you like about about Bath?
It's not a city. That's what I love about it. It's a jumped up village, really, babes. I mean, you could be in the city centre and then you look up and it's all the trees and hills and everybody knows each other. Like, everyone says hello to you. Like, even the co-op till assistant are friendly, you know. I end up spilling up my life to them and it's just like, they're just asking if I want a bag and I'm just like, yeah, I got so much baggage. But they're, you know, they're open and they don't push me out. I like Bath.
Who is your favourite famous resident of Bath that you've seen in Bath?
Apparently... I hear Chris Marshall is a Bathonian.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is. I saw him in a car and I was like, oh, he's an actor! That's what happens, isn't it? You just think, oh. But I've not actually met a real...
Andy Head lives here.
Does he?
Yeah. Tried to get him on.
But you got me.
Wouldn't do
Sorry.
It. No, I got you first. You were first.
I'm like, yes.
Peter Lord was the spare. Peter Gabriel must live somewhere near here. Does he still? Is he dead? Are you Peter Gabriel?
I love Peter
just
Gabriel.
You look, you go, it's him. I mean, he's gone through some looks, but I'm not sure he's... I thought you might be Charles Manson, to be fair. there's no swastika. But it's fine. And is he dead? I don't know. Is he still going or is he dead? He's dead! Like his victims.
We've got a novelist in the house, though.
You got
a novelist.
Have we?
A famous novelist.
Who's that?
Francesca Buman is in the house.
Okay,
she's a novelist. She wrote The History of the Pineapple and many other.
Oh, yes, of course. Ooh.
There you go.
Wow, she got you on.
You should have, yeah. We'll swap. Fran, come down, we'll swap. Tag me. She's actually very good.
Right. So Russell has done a show travelling around the world with your mum.
Yes.
So this is...
He took my childcare away. I am livid. She's back now, in the kitchen.
Will there be more series, or are you saying she can't go? Because
I'm like, please don't. I've come back for your childcare. No, he's going to do a world tour, and then they'll probably do Europe next year, which will be fine because I'll sort myself out then.
Okay.
Gives me a year.
Don't you think you should do a show going around the world with your dad?
He'll kill people.
He can't. Is it strange your mum getting in on the action?
It is, but then I actually really love it because she has genuinely been a housewife her whole life, and she would never have gone to India. She'd just go Spain and England, Spain and England. So he's exposed her to all these like interesting cultures, and it's really given her a renaissance. And she's a beautiful, wonderful, funny, naturally funny human. And I love that the world gets to see my mum and to see that's where we get our joy de vivre from. Like, that is mum. She's our comedy button. Her womb is comedy. Because Daniel's funny as well.
Oh, but I just thought that extra 2 weeks, you might need to be in cooked for two more weeks.
Yeah,
it's IT, then really funny.
Yeah.
That fortnight makes all the difference.
It's true.
It's astonishing. I do that. It can't be true that it's two different ovulations.
It is.
That
it's
makes
genuine.
her the Virgin Mary or something. Oh, the opposite. Yeah, the opposite.
It's the opposite. The slaggy Mary. Yeah. I don't know. There is a term for it, but I don't know. We're not normal twins. We're twins, though.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's good. Now I'm suspicious that you're not twins. We are twins, though.
We are twins.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And you had a go at stand-up, is that right? Did you try stand-up very early on?
Yes.
How did that? Because there's another stand-up called Kerry Howard.
I know, there is.
So I thought, I found the stand-up, and then it was someone else.
No, it was someone else, and she literally lasted for a year and then just disappeared. I killed her. Because every time you Googled my name, hers popped up straight away, and I was like, fuck, and I had no credits, and it was always fucking her. Now she's dead in the water, my credits run so wide and long. No, they don't.
I hope she didn't drown or something, because that seems very tasteless.
She's awful. No.
Now she's dead in the water.
It's fine. I did try stand-up only because Russell came home one day and just dropped this massive film script in front of me, Wimbledon, and was like, I've got to audition for this. And I was like, I've wanted to be an actress all my life. And he's like, done stand-up for a couple of years and they're asking him to be in fucking films. And honestly, he was like, can you help me, like, coach me? And I opened up the script, and this is the arrogance of a comedian. He'd rewritten everything. It takes 5 years to write the script before it goes into the casting process. And he's like, yeah, I can do this in half an hour. I was just like, you're not going to... James McAvoy got the part. But it was down to him and James.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
But that was my triggering point, where I was like, so if I go on the stage, I might get an audition. Because at that point, it was a closed shop for me. So I just used it. I hoarded it. Just to get contacts. And I did about 5 gigs, and that's all I needed to do, bitch. Because I didn't like the process of it, really. I found myself building up towards the day of the gig, just thinking about my type five. And you just get obsessed with everything becoming a joke. So then you can't have a normal interaction because you think, how can I use that? How can I use that? And I thought, and it was just a bit too introspective. And I love sharing with people as much as I'm a show off, but I like acting with other people and I like being a part of a team and comedy. Yeah. If you're slightly depressive, which I can be sometimes, is not the best place. So I did it for what I needed and then I got out fast.
Well, a lot of people do that, not necessarily in five gigs.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you realise... I didn't like it when I first started.
Yeah.
And I preferred like doing sketches and working with other people. And so it took me a long time to come back to it. Weirdly, when I came back to it, I'd gig with Russell all the time.
Russell was just kind of becoming big
and was doing loads of comparing. But it was before he was famous.
Yeah.
It's like 2004, sort of something like that. So I gig with him a lot, but he was so impressive.
Yeah.
He was so good at that stage.
He was mental. He was obsessed with it. But then you have to be. And I wasn't quite... I wanted to be an actress. So you can't really go into the comedy world with that verve of, I don't want to really be this. You have to absolutely want to be
that.
Yeah,
I think.
If you're going to succeed.
And
otherwise, get the fuck off stage.
But you know, you have... I mean, you've been working very consistently. And you've had two kids in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So you've still managed to get going your career through that, which is incredible as well. Because, you know, I've got two and no one's employing me.
You didn't give me a fucking job, though,
mate.
I didn't
give you a job. I looked and said, well... Then the one we employed got pregnant.
I know.
You can't win with just right for men. That's what I decided to
Actually, I was hiding my pregnancy at the time. Oh, yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, just reading my scripts makes women pregnant. That's what happens. That's how good they are. But people will know you from Him and Her.
That's
probably your breakout role.
Yeah, that was the thing that really kind of gave me a job, really.
Yeah.
A career. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because actually, like, nowadays, you can be in quite high-pro... I think, like, nothing gets millions and millions of viewers.
No.
So Him and Her was a fantastic sitcom, but it was on BBC Three.
BBC Three, and, yeah, I think it was... Was it before online or just...
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was just before.
Yeah.
Lucky. Otherwise, nobody would have watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she was just such a delicious cunt. And it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice to play that because it's so against type.
And it's an amazing cast. The central cast of that is, you know, Sarah Solomon Russell Tovey.
Yeah. She definitely got me the job because you have to do chemistry reads. And obviously, Sarah and Russell were already cast. And she had to do chemistry reads for her sister. And the loads of actresses came in. But she did the read through of Reggie Perrin, which was one of my first jobs. As Jasmine, but she was obviously too young to be Jasmine. But she loved me in the read-through, and that was my first ever... And she'd been around for years, but I was still a newbie. And when I came in to audition for Laura, she basically then sabotaged everyone's audition because she just wanted me to play Laura.
That's good.
I know. Thanks, Sarah.
It does work. You know, there's the little thing... Well, Pete was saying that, the little thing about nepotism, which isn't...
You need it.
Yeah, you need friends and you need
God.
Alliances within everything
for
things to work out. It is interesting. And that's because Rob Brydon, who you haven't seen yet, but was on the good London one. he was on the proper one.
The real one.
I'm joking, kind of. And it's
you're not.
But he was a Do Grace Scott got him a job very early, in like a man in a crowd in a film. And it is that, you know. You need to have that chemistry with people as well. So if you know you've got chemistry with someone,
and they like to be around you because the set is a very boring thing.
Exactly,
so if you've got someone that's going to be fun who doesn't take themselves too seriously, you're just like, oh, I want that person around.
Well, I think everyone should employ Paul Putner, who was in my stuff as the Curious Orange and other things.
I used to love him! Yeah.
But he is not only fantastic anyway, but he's such fun to have on a set. Because he's got a lot of stories. But also, if there's a famous person on the set, he will ask the famous person the questions you're not meant to ask them.
And get
away with it, and it's brilliant. And they don't mind. You'll ask the most, you know...
Have you wiped your bum?
No. But they'll just ask about the jobs that you want them to ask about. You might ask them that. I don't know. But But yes, so unless you're talking about Reggie Perrin, you also did Hyacinth Bouquet.
Oh yeah,
so you've recreated two roles yeah. from the past and gone back and done two. I mean, it was very good that I saw the Hyacinth Bouquet,
Thank
and you,
you
were very good.
Yeah,
it didn't get picked up.
No, but
it was a weird.
It was a weird season. It was, I would yeah. say it was an unnecessary season, but for me, it was a brilliant thing to prove, because coming from Laura, everyone just thought that's all you can play, and then to do that is so divorced from that. It just goes, I can act, motherfuckers. So for me, yeah. it was just a you know a wanking acting job.
Do you would you did you worry? Because like the one that was bad was Are You Being Served, which had a lot of my friends
yeah.
in it. That was
yeah,
bad.
I know, and it was really yeah. That was. It's, I mean, it's it was always shocking when you're friends in a show, and when you see them, you go, yeah. Okay, do you want a drink?
And Goodnight Sweetheart was actually quite good and didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
It was quite good.
It was quite good.
Wasn't as good as Goodnight Sweetheart. But that's been now made by Richard Curtis. Yeah.
But it's a weird premise, though. Bigamy. Like, why is that run? Like, I don't understand it.
Because, you know, we all want to have sex with other people. That is
yeah,
what it's about.
Legitimize it.
In the past, where it's safe. That's where we want to do it.
It's okay.
Except that one time when his wife got through Duckett's Passage and the two wives met, apart from that one time. No, Goodnight Sweetheart fans. Did you worry about taking that role, or just think, do you just, when it's Hyacinth Bouquet, you think this is...
I grew up impersonating her, so I was never like, oh, I can't do this. It was something that I always dicked around with, so I didn't think about it too much, which is the best thing to do
yeah.
until I was on set and like Sandy Johnson was like, I think you're trying to do an impression. I was like, I thought that was what I was supposed to do. I was like, shit. Okay, find the truth. But she's a grotesque. So yeah. That was my wobble moment. And then I thought I'd really fucked up. I thought I'd just done a real ham job of it. And then when it came out, everyone was quite kind. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of interesting that you know that people are going back to old sitcoms. I mean, even Alan Partridge, which is the new series coming out, at least they're doing something completely different with
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and making it current. But it's sort of... There's this propensity to try and go backwards,
yeah.
even when some things that aren't... old sitcoms but are in the style of old sitcoms.
Yeah, it just doesn't
It's sort
quite
of
work.
Strange. Well, you know, but obviously, like, him and her, and Witless was a great new...
Yeah, yeah.
That's done now,
that's
is it?
That's done, though, because it was a thriller sitcom, and it, yeah. was and it was a trilogy, so you can't really go back. I mean, I've kind of said to the writers, so, Leanne's in Spain, and, like, 10 years later, she's going to knock on Rona's door, and Rona's got kids, and she's like, what happened is? And drag her back into this right. mad world. So there's another, but they're writing another thing for me at the moment, which is
oh,
really
cool.
Yeah, so it's nice that I've got a relationship with writers now that we know what we can do, and so the next idea is really interesting and grown up, which I quite like.
Cool. But you write as well. You write your
yes,
own stuff.
Yes.
So you're writing anything? Are you working on anything?
Yeah, I'm working with Lucy Montgomery at the moment.
Oh.
Yes.
Do you want to audition me and then not give me the part?
Shit.
Was it just a one-off, the sketch show you did?
Yes, it was a one-off.
Because I've seen some clips from that where you did, you're playing lots of different... You played a man.
I played a man, yeah.
Which is quite freaky.
I really loved that character, the pervy character. It was a really funny... it was a weird time because I just was, so cocksure that I was going to get my own sketch show because it was banging. And then it never happened. And then everyone just stopped making sketch shows,
yeah.
which is really sad because I grew up on The Fast Show, Harry Enfield. Like, I just don't understand why they don't exist anymore. They're brilliant.
Yeah, it's because it's cheaper.
It's cheaper to do a narrative and to do reality TV.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't, you know, it's weird because sketch shows should be, and you know, what our sketch show was almost, and The Fast Show, we were on the same time.
Yeah.
And we were the last ones that were given like a proper budget, so we could spend like loads of money.
Yeah.
Having a big pie in Shrewsbury. It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
For that sketch, and we shot about 20 minutes worth as well. So it's, I don't think we had the fan there, extra footage. But yeah, so I think, you know, because it was, I think you were, it was sort of in the Fast Show vein,
in that
it was going to be lots of characters
absolutely,
doing.
Absolutely, it was like what I grew up on.
It is sort of weird. It's sort of sad, I think, that, you know, comedians as well can't get stand-up shows and can't really get sketch shows.
No.
It just sort of... I mean, stand-up is an end in itself.
Well, there's this new show on ITV that's like a stand-up's allowed to, like, turn their stand-up into a sketch, and I've kind of seen the trailer of it, and it just doesn't seem authentic because it's cutting to the stand-up joke and then going back to the sketch, and everyone's a bit overacty, and it's that's the beauty of sketches. It's like... Like, even Victoria Wood, it's rooted in reality, and that's why you love it, because you go, oh, my God, I know that person.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Although you have done Drunk History, which is sort of like a sketch show.
So
you've done that a couple of times.
Yes. That's the best job, apart from this gig. They genuinely pay you very good money for, like, a couple of hours to get pissed. Yes, please.
And does it generally work on whatever you say they do, or are they feeding you any ideas? Or
no,
do you just
they give you the idea, they give you the history, and then, like, if you have a brain, you have a little idea about what you're going to do, and then on the night, you take a Susan, and you spill your vomit out, and Susan goes, don't use that, don't use the bit where she's fellating something, and, you know, you're fine.
So you had Queen Victoria, the one I saw was Queen Victoria.
Yeah, it was a bit... Yeah, it was a bit risque.
It was. Well, that's...
Yeah, but I had fun. That's the thing. Because I'm not a stand-up, when I get asked to do these kind of things, I don't have to be funny. So I'm just like, I'm just having fun. Nobody has any expectation of me to be funny. So it's a joy.
Yeah.
It's a joy. I'd hate to be a comedian because you have to be funny.
No, you don't.
You don't.
Yeah, that's fine. Once, if you get one laugh every 15 to 20 minutes,
you're okay. That's the heartbeat. You're I'm still alive.
That's what you're aiming for. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions.
Oh, shit.
Oh, look, I'll do it from the back of this book.
Don't ask me about oxide.
I won't ask you an oxide
Don't
question.
Don't fucking ask Sometimes, me about oxide.
What is the strangest place a cat has licked you?
Fuck. What? Repeat.
What is the strangest place a cat has licked you?
Oh, I don't like cats.
Okay.
My dad used to say, thank you, but it's not really good. My dad used to throw potatoes at cats when they get on the garden because they're, no, that's not right. Don't hurt cats. So I have this innate hatred, but I don't understand why, but it's because of the potato throwing.
Why was it potatoes?
I should have kept that inside.
Did he have some potatoes on him at all times in case he saw a cat?
Always have a bag of potatoes in case the cats come around your garden. Always.
Okay, I'll ask you another question from the back of my book, the new. What is the weirdest reason that you've ever skived off school? Did you skive off school?
Thinking
you skived off school.
Yes, loads, like when I was at sixth form. But this is because I really loved my mum and I really loved light lunch. And I used to just run back home and just go sit, have my lunch with my mum and watch light lunch. Not go round the bike sheds and have a doobie and be cool. No. Run home to be with my mum for 3 hours and watch light lunch.
Aww.
And talk about what we're going to have for tea whilst we're eating our lunch. And I still do that with my mum. I live with my mum. No. Oh, God. Oh, I'm 36. It's fine.
It's good.
All right. Do you do that? When you eat your breakfast, do you think, what am I going to have for my dinner?
Yes, I just think about
it's
food
It's a universal
constantly.
Thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right, guys.
But when you've got kids as well, as you know, you're just planning meals all this, just
meat
all the time.
Just fill it.
And my son just eats... My son would never stop eating if you gave him food.
Yeah, you give them food and then straight away they're like, I'm hungry! Like, they've never eaten.
But my daughter wasn't like that. But my son, if he sees you eating anything, he won't shut up until you give him whatever it is.
Oh, really?
He has to have some of the thing. And he'll usually have a crack at it, whatever it is. I gave him some.
Good.
I was eating some licorice the other day, which you wouldn't like. You don't like licorice. I know that about you. And he ate licorice. He ate licorice. He's 16 months old. He went,
Wow.
Yeah, idiot.
No,
he's
my
just greedy. He's got the herring greedy genes.
That's good.
It's quite good. I think he's got the Wilkins slim genes, though. So there we go. So it's going to work out all right. What is the unhappiest animal you've ever seen at a zoo?
Oh, all of them, mate.
Yeah.
They're in a zoo. They're in a prison, basically, aren't they?
So but sometimes you see a really sad
one, probably.
Like a mentally ill...
mentally ill
I saw
one.
A mentally ill zebra.
Where?
At Whipsnade Zoo. I was at Whipsnade Zoo. There was a zebra standing in the corner looking at the wall.
Fuck.
Like it was there.
zebra should be doing that.
Shouldn't do that.
Oh. Yes. I mean, I saw a penguin recently and he was just swimming into the glass.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me. So I did.
They're good, you know. Zoos are good. I've become a member of Whipsnade Zoo. They're good, but, you know, there's some crazy animals in there.
Yeah. I mean, you would be.
Yeah.
There's some space. A zoo right now.
There's some space to run around. It's fine. It's all fine.
Just give us some bread.
Okay. Shall I ask you what was the worst thing a teacher ever said or did to you at school?
Probably the worst thing a teacher ever said to me, actually. Yeah. The worst thing. How old was I? 16, sixth form. And the drama teacher was driving me home. That's normal, right? And he was giving me sort of a character analyst of me as a person. And he was like, the trouble with you, Kerry, is you're all silly, aren't you? You're all silly. You could never be sexy. Which I was just like... run out the car.
It's interesting the way that, you know, I think things that teachers say to you can, like... I think the older you get, the more the thing anyone can say to you, especially when you're young, and that sticks with you for ages.
All my 20s, I thought I was just like not attractive because some fucking middle-aged man said I wasn't sexy. It was bizarre.
Yeah, it's strange. My games teacher, well, games teachers are horrible. My dad was my headmaster at my school, Kings of Wessex. Anyone in for the Kings of Wessex? Yeah, good. There are some. He was the headmaster when I was at school, and so the games teachers sort of. Were delighted in slightly tormenting me.
Yeah.
But I remember one of them saying, I was sitting down, he said, oh, you're knock-kneed. The headmaster's son is knock-kneed. I don't think I even particularly was.
Yeah.
It's just because I had huge testicles. So I just couldn't actually get my legs together. Was it you who said it?
My dad's a PE teacher.
Is he a PE teacher? Is he a dick?
He's retired.
Yeah, but
he's a retired dick.
Not retired from being a dick, is he? You don't go, oh, I'm going to hang up my being a dick hat. And be a nice guy. Where was he, the PE teacher?
Maidenhead.
Okay, you've come a long way. He never raped anyone.
Oh, God.
It's gone. It's just...
one of the good ones.
You seem very sure.
I've been all right.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Oh, dear.
We may have to lose that bit.
Please don't.
That was my one moment of fame.
Yeah.
This is going to get put in the British Library, mate, this podcast. You know, in 1,000 years' time, people will listen and go, oh, there's the bloke whose dad didn't rape anyone. That's just the one bloke from the 21st century whose dad never committed a single sex crime as far as his son knows. Because you'd tell your son if you did, wouldn't you? You'd say...
Over Sunday roast,
just
sit always.
Down, son, I've got something to tell you about. Luckily, you're not mic'd. I told them we shouldn't go to the provinces. And they said, no, go, it'll be fine. It'll be fine, Rich. I said, I'm just not sure they'll be able to cope with being so close to someone like me. They'll get overexcited. Hey, were you in We the Jury? I love that show with
yes.
James Acaster's pilot. That should have been
yes,
the series.
Yes, that was a nice gig. That was lovely.
James Acaster's doing very well.
Yeah, he's doing all right, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was very shy that day.
Was he?
Yes.
I thought that was a great
It was a really
premise.
Good idea, yeah.
So it's the jury in the... It was just focus on the jury in the,
yeah.
in the jury room.
Yeah. And
so like 12 angry men,
yeah,
but...
basically. Yeah. And every series it would be a new cast. So
yeah.
It's a brilliant, brilliant idea, actually. No one's ever done that before. So, but, you know, you win some and you lose some. Netflix might take it. He's all over Netflix.
Well, that's
he?
It, yeah. It's really interesting when someone who it probably is going to be the voice of their generation kind of starts up. You know, or certainly an important figure and gets turned down by people who don't know that they've got something brilliant.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it was actually very good, but also he's very good. I remember when Alan Davis was starting and he had like he tried to get a Radio 1 show and the executives were going, yeah, but we need someone like famous to be you can't be the star
it's
of it.
Brutal, isn't it?
And then you kind of go 2 years later, he's on Jonathan Creek and on, it's just kind of crazy that people were, you know, they're just dicks, aren't they? That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why my stuff doesn't get on, because I'm too... It's actually too good for them to realise. Usually after 30 years of working, someone will go, come on, actually, he's quite good. That guy. But with me, I'm so good that that hasn't even happened.
It transcends. It transcends.
And watch Judge Romesh. I haven't seen you've been working with Romesh Ranganathan,
yeah,
being
that was
a clerk.
That was another
court-based thing.
I know that was a job for the check. basically, because I'm not doing the second series.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a funny one because it's like a comedy panel show, like Judge Rinner, and they asked me to do it, and I'm like, I'm not a comedian. How much? Okay, I'll do it. I don't give a fuck. Because it was over the weekend, and so I could look after my kids and then just do a weekend job. Yeah. So I don't care about that shit. And I was all right, but I knew there'd be a better person for the job. To be honest, so.
Who's doing the second season?
I think it's a puppet. I really do. It is a puppet.
You know, that's all right. It's all right
I'm
to be replaced
burn that
by a
fucking puppet.
If it's a puppet of you, if it's a puppet of you and it just goes, I'm an idiot,
that's okay. Yeah. Well, I still get the money, that's fine.
That's okay. And you ran the marathon with both brothers?
Both my brothers, supposed to do it together. We start at the starting line, all at the same time. Brothers, family, united. They fucked off. And I spent the whole time running with, what's his name from Steps? Not H from Steps. Not age, because I'm friends with him now.
Lee.
This is before the Steps reunion, so they're having a bad time. Lee is training to be a personal trainer and trying to get into acting. I get his whole fucking life story. I tried to lose him in a tunnel, like the fucking Terminator. I was like, fucking hell. And did he not once ask me a question? Bullshit.
But then
I saw him years later. They had the reunion, and we went to see their O2 gig, and he kind of vaguely remembered me. So I thought, right. Nice guy.
I'd have just spent the whole time going, "Hey, look at you! You're doing steps." Do that all the way around.
One person recognised him. Oh. One person, 26 miles. One person went, "Chadley." I was like, "Oh, Lee, did that hurt?" Do you want to stop running? Do you want to leave me alone?
What time did you and Lee from Steps manage together?
I think we got a good time.
Did you?
I can't remember. 4 hours to 40?
14?
40.
Oh, that's good. That's all right. 4 hours, 17:50 I did it in, so... I'm faster than you and Lee from Steps.
Yeah.
Put together.
Put together. I would have been faster. Together. He dragged me with a lot of... Russell did no training and got a really good time. He's like a whippet.
He's got quite buff and fit, though. He's got more recently obsessed with...
Yeah. He's a manorexic. He's obsessed.
Is he?
I think he thinks he's going to die, so if he's got muscles, he'll not die. Well, that's not... He's not going to die.
I've noticed that he's got that obsession with worrying about that.
But he's like my dad, you know, the assassin.
Yeah.
They're both like that. It's weird. Was Daniel's a hot mess? He knows.
The minute you said he worked in IT, we had a picture. We had a mental image of someone who looked like Russell Howard,
but a hot mess.
Yeah. And sitting at a desk for a while. Do you have any good embarrassing stories about Russell from his childhood that you have not revealed before that you can tell us about?
Oh, no, probably not, because then...
Because he said loads about you when he came on the
podcast. Oh, yeah. No, he's got nothing on me. I mean, we used to play... Well, like they were the twins, and I was the weird girl that used to talk to myself in the mirror. That was our family dynamic. But every now and again, Russell would be like, Kerry... Do you want to come out and play football with us? You can be in goal. And I'd be like, oh, finally, the boys acknowledge me, I exist. So I'd run out and I'd put socks on my hands for gloves. And I, for years, when they let me play football, I thought I was so good in goal because I always stopped the ball with my head. Always. Like that. I'm really good at this game. And then when I went to school and I was like, I can play football. No, I was really shit. I couldn't stop any goals because they weren't aiming at me. True story. True fucking story.
Kids are very cruel, aren't they?
Yeah.
Siblings are very cruel.
Very,
especially.
Like, I think Daniel once put a pillow on my face and tried to kill me. Right. But I think that's normal, right?
That is. It is if you've, you know, if you force someone out the womb.
Yes, exactly.
That is fair. There's no legal recourse.
I was like, flush it, burn it, kill it, stab it. So I can see where that anger came from.
Well, look, we're nearly going to have to wrap up because I have to drive for 2.5 hours after this gig and that's not on. What's that about? What's coming up? What's coming up that you have? You've mentioned a couple of things. Is there stuff you can talk about that's coming up?
They're doing a remake of Four Weddings and a Funeral. I'm in that. But it's for Hula, for America. So I don't think anyone's going to watch it. I'm like a tiny bit part in it. Dipping my toe back in. I've just had a baby. All right. I'm writing. Got myself a script commission. It's only for a pilot, but you never know. No one will ever make it. You know the world.
All these things have been made. It's incredible. So, like, even when many have gone to 2 or 3 series,
yeah.
or more. So that's such a success. It's such a weird business in terms of. You can go, I've had a commission. Yeah. It's fantastic. Oh, it's gone wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a pilot. Oh, it's gone wrong. Yeah. Oh, I've got a series. Oh, they don't want any more. Yeah. And so there's never, you know,
No one could have called it in my family what's happened in my career. Nobody would have called it at all. It's a proper shock. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see in 10 years' time what happens.
Well, you're extremely good. You're definitely the second best person I saw for that job that I was auditioning for. So...
As long as
the other person, you know, gets
Jess
work.
No, Jess is cool. No, Jess is fucking brilliant, though. She's very good. Jess Nappet. She's funny.
She's very good. But so you're amazing. If you haven't seen Kerry's stuff, do check out. It's all online, isn't it? You can see all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So check out.
I haven't got any merch. I should have merch. I didn't know we were selling
bring
shit.
Bring merch, yeah. You can come and help me run my shop afterwards.
Yeah, I will.
And you can talk to me like I work in co-op. And... You can see her just in the street, walking around.
Yeah, I'm around. Just come and chat to me. I'm lonely.
She shops at Co-op.
I do.
She hangs around with that woman off the telly, goes around the world with her son.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. If you see me with my mum, please ask for a selfie. She will lose her fucking tits. No, that will make... She will talk about that for months. Honestly, she does not get papped enough. She needs it in her life. I'll give her 10 more years. And I need those 10 years for childcare. So, you're helping me.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up. She's one of yours, Kerry Howard. Hey. You have been listening to Rahulastapa at the Bath Comedia with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Kerry Howard. Thank you very much to Pess and also everyone at the Bath Comedia and also everybody at GoBuster Stripe and also everyone at Acast. They've been nice too. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you very much. This is a fuzz. GoBusterStripe.com and Sky Potato Production. Why not go to rahulastapa.co.uk to find out more about what this podcast is about and to sign up to become a monthly badger and get loads of extra stuff. Hooray!
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who's said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show. If you enjoyed it, if you want to see me, that'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.